This is the SKG Radiology official NBL One West radio show.
NBL One West radio show, Brett Costello and Ben Ettridge with you. What do we say about the last 7 days? Oh my goodness.
I'm interested to see what you're going to name the last round as we've fallen into that habit. But yeah, interesting again. And again, the world we're living in at the moment where plans can change at the drop of a hat.
Well, I guess I'm going to have to call it round zero, really, wasn't it? Because there was nothing happening as a result of COVID. We'd hoped we might get some games away under reduced capacity, but that looks like how things are going to roll for this weekend. The word out of the league so far is that hopefully all the fixtures can go ahead this weekend, but there is going to be that 150-person capacity, and we're hopeful that the players themselves are not in that head count, so you can at least get 150 sort of officials and spectators through the gates.
I think given that we've come through the West Coast Classic and then a few of the other weekends when we've come out of lockdown and similar restrictions have been in place, I don't think it's going to be too much of a change for the players and the coaches. However, moving forward, when we do start to have to try and fit these extra games in that we're missing, I think the workload and the stress that's putting on the infrastructure will start to come to the forefront as we try and get all the games played so we can have a full season.
Well, I guess being NAIDOC week, and we're also coming into the Indigenous round in the NBL One West, we'll be chatting with Talia Fajo. Have I said that correctly, do you reckon? F-E-J-O? I'm not too sure.
Sure she'll correct us.
Let's check with her when we speak with her a little bit later on. Of course, a player out of the East Perth Eagles. We'll also be chatting with Willerton Tigers head coach as well.
Yeah, Adam Neen is taking the reins there at the Tigers after a long stint under Alan Black and then Stephen Black, providing a fresh set of eyes and maybe some new ideas that really have rejuvenated that program after sort of, you know, not achieving perhaps what the club wanted them to achieve for a few years, and he's got them rolling along very nicely.
In previous weeks, we'd always wanted to chat a lot about what was going on in the other conferences. We didn't really have a chance. Time pressures there, but given that there's no games in our round, we're going to take a little bit more of a detailed look back at what some of the NBL players are doing, what some of the previous SBL players are doing in some of the Eastern conferences.
Yeah, very good to catch up with those guys and see what they're doing, and good for them that they've sort of moved on to other clubs and still having success.
Lost SBL is there as always. We'll probably break down the Luke Travers signing for Mandurah as well, which is, although that news is probably a good week or so old, we haven't yet seen the implications of that one, and I'm wondering if he's going to be playing this weekend as well.
Another interesting part of when we do have these weeks off with these NBL players returning, that normally this would have been a week where he would have missed games like Tom Jervis, so it sort of helps out the teams that have those guys sitting there recovering or in quarantine. So this may mean that he's available for a few extra, given the compact nature of the second half of the season.
We'll be back on the NBL One West radio show after this to take a look at what's happening around Australia in the other conferences in the NBL One.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
This is the all-new NBL One West radio show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West with Brett Costello and Ben Ettridge. Check the NBL One West radio show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic. Tuesdays from 2 p.m., 897 FM. Tuesday nights from 5 p.m., Radio Mama. Wednesday nights from 5 p.m., Oz Urban Radio. Thursday nights from 9 p.m. on 98.5, Sunshine FM. The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West radio show.
At SKG Radiology, we care about your health and welfare. This is why we bulk bill Medicare rebatable services across all 20 SKG locations. Some exceptions may apply. Ask our friendly staff for details. Visit skg.com.au.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West radio show.
It is the NBL One West radio show. Welcome back for all your local basketball reviews, previews, and action. It's time to take a look at what's happening in the NBL One. Of course, it's a national competition currently made up of the Central, North, South, and our conference over here in the West. I think we're hoping that New South Wales will be joining next season as well. What are they going to be called?
I'm not sure.
I think, is it? Does that make sense?
East, but yeah, I know that is on the cards for them to be on board and sort of raising the profile of their old Waratah League to the NBL 1.
Why don't we take a look at NBL Central? Now, look, it's interesting because the list we've got in front of us is kind of all the NBL contracted players who are playing down in the NBL 1, I suppose. And the North and the South have got heaps of players, between about 17 and 20 players. Over here in the West, we've got Ferguson, Sherville, Machado and Jervis, so we're only rolling with four, at least at this point. There may be some future signings. The Central is kind of the same, not too many players, with the North and the South plentiful.
Yeah, look, that's where the main number of teams are in the NBL, and I guess that sort of makes it easier for those guys too, if they have got a contract running over the next couple of years, to get some basketball under their belt and play with their local team, or maybe from the town or club that they originated from, go back and spend a bit of time there. So it's great to see that those guys are dropping back and taking this competition seriously.
Well, having a look at NBL 1 Central then, and for those who don't know, that's the old South Australian League, essentially. Jack McVeigh, he's playing with the North Adelaide Rockets, usually from the 36ers, and he seems to be scoring heavily at the moment.
Yeah, his first weekend in, and 33 points on in his first game and 42 points in his second, and that included some Dirk Nowitzki-esque one-leg three-point runners, which made the highlights that were flying around social media.
I actually saw those highlights. One of the second one in particular was crazy. Yeah. I didn't know what he was doing.
Yeah. I thought it might have been just to use end of a quarter or end of a half, yeah. But they're actually in game, coming off some pin-down screens to get that shot up. So maybe it's something he's taking the opportunity to work on for next season, adding a little extra to his repertoire.
He's also playing alongside Sunday Deck at the Rockets as well, who's had some games where he scored quite heavily and others where he's been more of a playmaker.
Yeah, Sunday would be just looking to get those reps and continue his good form. He's really starting to make a name for himself as a defensive-oriented player at the NBL level, getting thrown at the likes of Bryce Cotton and Scott Machado. So for him to drop back and be able to put some points on the board is only going to add to his value as his career progresses.
A few guys with history for the old State Basketball League also running about in the Central Conference too.
Yeah, Shaq Maharaj there with 19 points in a win, and at West Adelaide, Ernest Ross with another double-double, which seems to be his MO at the moment, and now Brian Michaels chipping in with 15 points as well. So those boys getting some good numbers in their respective teams.
I wonder if they'd be familiar with each other because they're both running around for West Adelaide.
They didn't cross paths here. Brian was here the year before. Oh, he's here for a bit with Lakeside while Ernest was up at Geraldton. So they may have seen each other once then, but definitely they'd understand that Brian's connection with WA and so on and so forth. So, but yeah, sort of forming a very, very good backcourt there for West Adelaide.
Why don't we have a look then at the NBL 1 North, which of course is the Queensland side. I noticed that Jeremy Kendall, who's become a bit of a hired gun around the league when people are short on imports, has popped up there. He had 31 points recently.
Yeah, very, very solid performer. Initially came out as a Siebel import and has sort of made a name for himself as one of those guys that's very quick to be snapped up by a team that's looking for someone to provide a bit of extra punch at the NBL level. So, I know he was shopped around over here a little bit as well. Teams were looking at him in NBL 1 West. So, always very consistent at this level.
I saw that Jared Bairstow from the Perth Wildcats is linked up with the Sunshine Coast Phoenix. And we had a couple of games where he scored 13, but then in a loss, he had 22 points. And that loss was actually to the Lamar Patterson-led Southern Districts, which
yeah,
is
one of the big signings, I guess, an import of the quality of Lamar Patterson dropping back. Again, it's a sign of he's signed with Brisbane for next year, and the inability to travel home, or if he does go home, the need to quarantine when he comes back. So sticking around and playing. And interesting enough, Jamal Robitaille, people that were around in the 90s would remember his dad Vern playing for the Goldfields Giants at that time, and then leaving the Giants and heading up to Brisbane to play, I think, for the Gold Coast Rollers at that stage.
Another notable player is Tanner Krebs. He's with the Sunshine Coast Rip City at the moment. Seems to be scoring freely.
Yeah, leading all of NBL 1 conferences in scoring at the moment is Tanner Krebs, a COE product, and on the Brisbane Bullets list and delivering quite handily at this level.
The Cairns Taipans players have kind of aligned themselves with the Cairns Marlins, so you can likely see the likes of Jawai and Jerick running around before too long.
Yeah, no, I watched a few of their games earlier on, where they were, all three were out there on the court. And yeah, just to see these guys playing at that next level, it does add that extra little bit of intensity and a little bit of extra spice. I watched a game where Mirko Jurić went nuts in the last couple of minutes, hitting a few threes and gave his usual fist pumps and running around and all that. But yeah, no, it is excellent to see those guys dropping back, and it does add that extra little bit to those broadcasts when you're watching.
The Queensland Conference, much like us, they lost most of their last round. They did get a few games away on the Sunday, so hopefully, much like us again, they'll have some fixtures actually to look forward to this weekend. Finally, taking a look at the NBL 1 South Conference, which of course represents Victoria and Tasmania. There's certainly some big names are running around here as well.
Yeah, look, it's again another product of the fact that, you know, we've got five or six teams on the East Coast there, and these guys are looking to sort of stick around and play in their local leagues. And it's, again, just a, an added bonus of what we've got. They can come back a third of the way or halfway through and really bolster these teams. And look, it's just going to make this end of season push when everyone is making that run for a national finals even more interesting.
Much like some of the Cairns players aligning with the Cairns team, it seems like the Melbourne United, at least a fair block of their team, have aligned with the Geelong Supercats. And while the likes of Shea Ely and Jack White and stuff haven't seemed to have played as yet, they're probably enjoying a small break. They're expecting those guys before too long.
And I would sort of think the word out of Melbourne is that once those guys are back in, that they're probably going to be the team that is the one to take down for the national title. I think any team that had Joe Lual Achul in it, given the way he played in the grand final series, would be very, very hard to beat. He'll be an absolute monster at NBL 1 level.
Dexter Kurnich-Drew is a name that Wildcats fans would be familiar with. He's been putting up some points for the Waverley Falcons.
And that's his MO. He can fill it up and fill it up in a hurry, and he's doing it easily at this level, I would say.
Some people may have picked up on Wani signing with Albury Wodonga. He had 5 points in a loss, but then bounced back with a 19-point outing in a win.
Yeah, and I think Wani was looking for an opportunity there to go and play against some competition that was going to push him a little bit harder. Nothing against NBL 1 West, but I think he maybe feels that he's done all he can do at this over here, and a change of scenery and a different system, and maybe get over there and play against the more of the NBL level guys that he's got a taste of playing towards the back end of this season when Bryce was injured. Just really sort of taking that form into his NBL 1 season.
And Big Ray Turner playing for Bendigo with 17 points recently as well.
Yeah, always quality. Fadeaway Ray will always deliver. And again, a guy that I think has probably been very hard done by not to be, get a regular spot on an NBL roster.
Also, Benny Lewis, who spent some time up there at the Bucks, if I recall correctly.
Another one like Dexter Kurnich-Drew, just can fill it up from anywhere. And at this level, he's almost unstoppable. So a veteran now is Benny. He was probably here 4, 5, 6 years ago. So still getting it done for Waverley.
And Wildcats fans with a good memory might remember Eric Burden as well, a bit of a three-point specialist, if I recall.
Yeah, I don't remember him that much. I do remember the name, but yeah, don't actually remember the style of player that he was. So I have to take your word for it on that one.
I think he's running around for Mount Gambier anyway in the South League. Plenty of other people there. Mason Bragg, I see as well. He's with Northwest Tasmania. I think he's a Tasmanian originally, isn't he?
Yeah, and he might be one of the locals that's looking to get signed by the Jack Jumpers there. They've made some big moves over the last few days with the signing of Will Magnay and Clint Steindl from the Perth Wildcats, along to go with Scott Roth as the head coach sort of moving over there. So that connection is very strong for the Perth players heading towards the south of Australia and Tasmania.
Well, hope you enjoyed our look at what's happening in some of the other conferences on our NBL 1 Watch. We're going to look a little more closer to home as we come back to you, and we'll be chatting with Adam Nina, the current head coach of the Willetton Tigers here in the NBL 1 West.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL 1 West.
Your health and welfare are important. At SKG Radiology, we know this. Take advantage of bulk billing all Medicare rebatable services across our WA practices. Some exceptions may apply, so please ask our friendly staff for more details. From X-rays to ultrasounds, low-dose CT scans and MRIs, no matter where you're referred to, when you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology. Visit skg.com.au.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
It's the NBL One West Radio Show. Welcome back, Brett and Ben with you. And as promised, we are now joined on the line by the head coach of the Willetton Tigers men. It's Adam Nina. Welcome along to the show.
G'day, guys. Thanks for having me.
Now, look, we just had a bit of a look at the ladder before we gave you a call. And how do you feel about sitting in third spot with a 10-1 record? I'm still trying to work out how that works.
Look, you know, it's great. You know, I think obviously this year, I think it's gone by percentage now, doesn't it? Is that how it works out?
It must be, yeah, because I'm not sure how 10-1 is below 10-2, but that's how it sits with the Lakeside Lightning and the Hawks in 1-2.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I mean, obviously they're two very good clubs as well and teams, and those guys are going, they're rolling, having a really great season. So, you know, it's obviously a bit tight up there, and just going to see what happens the second half of the season.
You've got a pretty busy weekend coming up this weekend. It looks like games are going to be go ahead with those sort of restrictions around the number of people capped at 150, but you've got two other sides who are also got those top eight aspirations in the Flames and the Redbacks.
Oh, definitely. I think Flames will be wanting to get some revenge, I guess, so to speak, with... you know, us taking or beating them down at Rockingham early on the season, albeit without, you know, Greg Heyer and Tom Jervis. So then those guys adding two key players to that roster, you know, we're certainly going to have to be on our toes to get that win as well.
And Adam, you know, you must be pretty pleased with the roster that you've put together. The additions of Hunter Clark and Brent Hank are two quality ins for you. But you know, you look at your roster and Andrew Black and Damien Scott and Michael Vigor sort of leading the way there for you. But the thing that stands out for me is the production you're getting out of your kids like Roosevelt William Jr. and what's your little lefty guard, Connor Mitchelton.
Connor.
Yeah. Yep. So you know, those kids seem to be coming along in leaps and bounds and doing a great job for you, so you must be very pleased with them as well.
Oh, definitely am. You know, to I guess you know, like every coach, I guess you want to try and have as many junior players from your club playing at the top level that they can in NBL One. You know, I think we've got three guys that aren't from our club, which is Hunter, Michael Vigor, and Damien Scott. Albeit Damien's been here for about 5 or 6 years now, but you know, we're really pleased with how the guys are coming along and tracking, and you know, especially Connor. Connor's had a great season so far. I guess the big test now will be for him after playing the first half of the season is continuing on in that role and hopefully, you know, have his sights set on an NBL, you know, DP spot if that's going to happen for him, which I hope he can.
Obviously, everyone's been affected by the COVID at this time. How have you guys been tackling things down there at Willetton? How have you been directly affected?
You know, I guess everyone's been kind of affected the same way. You know, as we haven't been able to train as much as we want to or get on the court together. You know, we have our group chat app on our phones, and we check in every now and again, see how guys are tracking. And, you know, you hope that they are getting out and going for a couple of runs during the week. But, you know, it's a tough time, and you just got to roll with the punches, and whatever happens, happens. And, you know, I think we're lucky in a sense that it hasn't affected us too much as, you know, it has over East or around the world. So, you know, being in WA, you know, it's a great place. And hopefully we can get back on the court with, you know, the full spectators and everything and finish up the season.
Yeah, Adam, you know, last year you got to sort of sit there and be the assistant coach and through a West Coast Classic and sort of watch what was happening and all that. And you've spent your years down at Coburn as the head coach. Moving into the head coaching seat, what was some of the things that you've turned into the, you know, put your Adam Nina spin on it that you've sort of liked from the years gone past at the Tigers there?
Well, that's a tough question. I don't know how to answer that one there, Ben. you've got me there because, you know, previous coaches and Steve was doing everything right in a sense that he wanted to do, I guess, and I just have a different, you know, I don't know. I, to be honest with you, I don't know if I can answer that question.
Oh, fair enough.
I don't know how to answer that one. I'm sorry.
You told us not to make them too tough. Ben's outdone himself there. I guess just moving into the hot seat sort of yourself, how has that transition been for you then?
Yeah, it's been great. It really has been great. You know, Willetton's a club that I always wanted to come back and coach. It was my junior club. They've given me a lot growing up and, you know, transitioning from a junior to so, you know, your SBL teams and that kind of stuff. You know, so to have the support that I have with from, you know, Cam, Mark Winnett, Luke Sunderland down there at Willerton, and the whole board has been great. And also having, you know, guys like Wayne Bill and Brad Ramsey as my assistant coaches, who in their rights could probably coach a team in the league as well. So it's all fitted pretty nicely for myself.
Adam, we'll take a short break, and if you're happy to stick with us, we'll talk to you again on the other side of this on the NBL One West radio show.
The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West radio show. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West radio show.
Welcome back. It is the NBL One West radio show. Brett Costello and Ben Ettridge with you, and we're still joined on the line by the head coach of the Willerton Tigers. It's Adam Nina. Adam, I'm always interested in some of the younger players, and Roosevelt Williams is a guy who I've known sort of and watched through the wobble since under-12s, and he was over in Victoria for a while, of course. What do you see as the ceiling for him, and how's his progress coming along there at the Tigers?
Yeah, I mean Ro is a talented kid. You know, he's got a high expectation of himself. I guess the message that we've been trying to send to him and try and get him to understand is because of his high expectations, you know, he's only an 18-year-old, still 18 years of age, and he's starting for us in the NBL One. So, you know, he's going to have his ups and downs and inconsistencies and all that kind of stuff. I guess our message for him is to keep on playing, do little things right, and everything will come, you know, kind of naturally for him. His defense is one of a kind. Just got to get him to put the ball in the hoop a bit more, and, you know, I think he can go pretty far.
And Adam, you know, you're one of those guys who left WA and went over east to play. Was it Frankston where you went to play?
Yeah, mate. Yep.
And
yep.
You know, going over there and seeing the level that Siebel, as it was then, was at. And then now seeing what we're going through here as we transition from SBL into NBL One, are you sort of looking at it and sort of seeing that the level is improving and we're heading in the right direction?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I think kind of back when I was over there, I think some probably would say your top two or three probably SBL teams could probably compete pretty competitively with the Siebel. But at the moment, I think any team in their own right on any given night can certainly push and compete pretty closely with the guys in that over east in the Siebel or NBL One South, and even over in Queensland as well.
Adam, we already spoke about your Friday night matchup against the Rockingham Flames. You're going to be backing up on the Saturday with an away match against the Redbacks there at Belmont Oasis Leisure Centre. Has your scout gone far enough ahead yet to look at that game?
Not really. I mean, we're just focusing on the Friday night game first. But obviously, as coaches, we do watch a few games when we can on the weekends. And, you know, the Redbacks are starting to be a pretty good force in the league. They've won a few games now. And, you know, the addition of Marshall coming back in is great. Lewis Timms seems to be finding his feet now. Same with Tevin Jackson. And obviously, Joel Wagner's just doing Joel Wagner things. So, you know, we've got to be on our best to beat any team. I think any team can beat any team on any given night. So we just look forward to Friday first.
All right, thanks very much for your time, Adam. It's been excellent to speak with you, and we wish you and the Willerton Tigers all the best to continue to build on your 10-1 start to the season. Congratulations.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Missed a part of the show or wanting more? Check the NBL One West radio show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic. Listen or download in your own time and check out the podcast exclusives for more.
At SKG Radiology, we care about your health and welfare. This is why we bulk bill Medicare rebatable services across all 20 SKG locations. Some exceptions may apply. Ask our friendly staff for details. Visit skg.com.au.
This is the all-new NBL One West radio show.
It is the NBL One West radio show. Brett Costello and Ben Ettridge with you. And our focus now turns to the women's game, and it also turns to our Indigenous round. And we're pleased to be on the line with Talia Fijo, a player who's out of the East Perth Eagles. How are you doing, Talia?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Welcome along to the NBL One West radio show.
Glad to be here.
Well, look, we have got Indigenous Round. Of course, we're in the middle of NAIDOC Week as well this week. And you're a lady, the East Perth Eagles there, with connections back to the likes of Cooba, Pedy and Darwin, I believe. Tell us a little of your background for people who may not be aware.
I'm a proud Larrakeean woman, which means my Indigenous tribe is from the Northern Territory. So a lot of my Indigenous family live in the Northern Territory, and that's where my dad's from. However, me and my younger sister were born in Queensland.
Right,
so, okay. We're a bit all over the place. So we grew up with a lot of islanders and Indigenous mobs. So like, it was a really cool upbringing.
I understand you spent some time in Adelaide as well, and basketball's taking you to different locations.
So pretty much when I turned 8, we moved to Adelaide, and I did all my education and pretty much all of my basketball through in South Australia, which is pretty cool. Played at some pretty elite levels with the girls over there, which is quite nice. So, yeah.
It seems like a nice initiative. Like, we've obviously seen Indigenous rounds in the likes of the AFL and the NBL for some time, but now to see the NBL 1 as a national second-tier competition getting on board with these types of Indigenous rounds is a great initiative as well.
Yeah, no, it's been pretty cool. Like, with East Perth, before I even signed the contract, I was like, hey, to Blake, I was like, hey, I'd love to get an Indigenous round this year. I can sort the whole thing out if you want. Like, I have a fair few connections here in WA to get it sorted. Like, just let me know what the goal is, if there's a budget, if there's not a budget, whatever it is. Like, I can swing something. So, yeah, East Perth has been pretty cool about it.
We've heard about a little bit about your journey so far, but a bit more about your basketball journey. Like, where did the love of basketball come from, and who was that person that sort of introduced you to the game?
Well, there's a few people, actually. So growing up in Queensland, I think their NBL team has done a great job, Cairns Taipans. Growing up, they ran all the Aussie Hoops programs, at least the people that we saw on a regular basis, like Kerry Williams. He was pretty cool. We consider him family. When he was playing for Taipans, he'd run the Aussie Hoops programs. Us kids really had no idea what we were doing at that point. We were kind of just there because we were like, oh yeah, basketball, we can just, you know, run around. But yeah, so like, there's are a lot of people, really. I come from a family of 4 sisters and 1 brother. All of us play basketball. Bit of footy. Dad played a lot of footy growing up. He also played basketball as well. I think he had a chance to go to Melbourne Tigers when he was younger before he had a devastating knee injury, which, you know, to this day he still can't run, can barely walk sometimes. But that's just Dad. Happy birthday to Dad if he hears this, by the way. It's his birthday day. And, you know, Mum also played a lot of basketball growing up, so had a lot of uncles and aunties that, you know, coached a lot of basketball, and all of my older siblings played. I'm the second youngest, so it only seemed natural just to go into basketball as well.
Well, thinking about the East Perth Eagles now, we spoke with Aaron Fisher from your squad a couple of weeks back. You guys are knocking on the door of the top 4, which probably no one would have expected during the 2019 season when the Eagles were struggling to win a game. So it's been quite a turnaround in the recent seasons.
I think Blake has done a really good job of picking up players, as well as, like, there are a lot of new players, but at our trainings we get a lot of the juniors in, and I take a lot of pride in talking to the younger girls and being like, hey, you guys got to realise that some players that might not be here next season, keep grinding it out now, and, you know, you got to make your own pathways to be in that, like, seventh, sixth player coming off the bench. Like, you know, you're still young. This is where you put in the hard work so that the next season you're out there running around with us. So
we're going to take your time to go through all of the fixtures a little bit later on, but thinking about your particular fixture on Saturday night against the Perry Lakes Hawks, have you started to scout towards those guys? They've got some pretty tall timber.
They definitely have some tall players. We haven't gone through the scout yet. I do have some experience playing against Nat. While back, I was playing at Lynx at the same time she was. She's a very great person, absolutely lovely, and just ridiculously tall and long. Like, it's a bit scary sometimes. So yeah, no, I'm looking forward to this game.
Should be a good one because the Hawks' form has been a little bit patchy. They certainly look fantastic on paper, but it hasn't always clicked for them. So they'll be hungry for a win, I'm sure. And you guys will certainly be seeing it as one that you'd want to tick off and push into that top four.
Oh, definitely, definitely. It's a huge game, and if we take it home, like, which is the plan, you know, top four is pretty much ours. So, yeah.
Excellent. Well, we certainly wish you the best for that, and we'd like you to stick around and look at all of this coming weekend's fixtures for Indigenous Round with us. Give us a few tips and where you think the rivalries might be as well. Stick with us, Talia. This is the NBL One West Radio Show.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
This is the all-new NBL One West Radio Show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West with Brett Costello and Ben Ettridge. Check the NBL One West Radio Show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic. Tuesdays from 2 p.m., 897 FM. Tuesday nights from 5 p.m., Radio Mama. Wednesday nights from 5 p.m., Oz Urban Radio. Thursday nights from 9 p.m. on 98.5, Sunshine FM. The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West Radio Show.
Your health and welfare are important. At SKG Radiology, we know this. Take advantage of bulk billing all Medicare rebatable services across our WA practices. Some exceptions may apply, so please ask our friendly staff for more details. From X-rays to ultrasounds, low-dose CT scans and MRIs, no matter where you're referred to, when you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology. Visit skg.com.au.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
It is the NBL One West Radio Show. Brett Costello, Ben Ettridge with you, and we're still on the line with Talia Fijo. She's a player from the East Perth Eagles. We're going to go through all of the games coming up this weekend, and of course, we've got those 150 people restrictions, so even if you can't get to the game, do make sure you check out the online broadcast at the nbl1.com.au website. It kicks off on Friday night. The Southwest Slammers hosting the Mandurah Magic. It's been a pretty tough season for the Southwest Slammers women so far.
Slammers, I think, they're quite young, which, you know, is a bit of a disadvantage, but at the same time, a couple of years can go by. Well, not even a couple of years, next season maybe, like, some of those girls are going to start, you know, not taking anything from anyone. And, you know, I think that's something exciting to look forward to as the coaches, if they can keep those players. I think if they signed one or two more veteran-y kind of players, not necessarily veterans, but more mature players that these girls can really latch onto, I think that could potentially be dangerous in season or two to come.
And the another game on Friday night is the Joondalup Wolves versus the Perth Redbacks. The Wolves sort of firming as title favourites, but the Redbacks are always around the mark. How do you see that one going?
I think that would be quite an interesting game. I feel if Redbacks really step up to the plate and they give it a red-hot crack, I think their matchups are pretty good. And also it depends on who's playing from Joondalup, because the time when we versed them, they were missing a few key players and we ended up getting the jump on it, which was quite surprising.
Also on the Friday night, the Eastern Suns are hosting the Warwick Senators. It's a 6:30 p.m. tip-off there at Ray Owen Sports Centre. The Suns are a team that you previously played for, I believe?
Yes, I did previously play for those guys. And yeah, I reckon that game should be pretty good too. They both have some young girls that are coming through, some very talented young players. So I'm interested to see how that goes.
Stacey Barr's certainly been in fantastic form for the Senators and be looking to carry them forward, I imagine.
Yep, she's a fantastic player. Like, she's definitely someone you don't want to underestimate.
Friday night also continues with the Wilton Tigers taking on the Rockingham Flames at Wilton Basketball Stadium.
Most teams are pretty matched up quite well. With just the spread of talent in WA at the moment. So I reckon that could be a good game, but I reckon Rocco might get the win over Willerton.
On Saturday night, two teams that will be on the second game of a back-to-back. The Perth Redbacks are going to be hosting the Willerton Tigers. Any thoughts on how that one may pan out?
I really hope Redbacks get the win on that. Depending on how their game goes the night before. If they win, they'll do their best to carry it over. If they lose, they'll definitely be playing with a lot of guts and a lot of, like, need to win.
We mentioned already your match on the Saturday night, East Perth Eagles versus the Perry Lakes Hawks. That's a 5 p.m. tip-off at Herb Graham. I suppose you'd like to tip the Eagles for that one, I imagine.
Definitely would love to tip the Eagles, and you know what? I definitely will be, because I think, given the season, a lot of teams and coaches have definitely underestimated Eagles as a team. Given their track record the last couple of years, it hasn't been a very victorious team. But I feel with the way that we've signed players and the way that our team chemistry is going at the moment, there's not a lot going against us. There's a lot going against us, but like us, ourselves, if we keep focused and we show up, I don't think there's a team that we can't beat.
Continuing on Saturday night, the Mandurah Magic take on the Joondalup Wolves down at the Mandurah Aquatic and Recreation Centre. What's your thoughts on that one?
That's a bit tough. I feel like Mandurah are going to give it a crack. They hustle a lot. They're a good team. They're good at hustling teams. But I reckon, just given who's on the Joondalup team, they're very, very strong. So
I don't know whether this will change your pick at all, but Milo's 500 milestone has been delayed from last weekend, and I imagine she'll be getting the 500 milestone at that game, which is or maybe on the Friday night. In fact, it'll be the 500, so that may be the 501, but that'll be the milestone at home where they're probably recognising that as well. So the Magic may be a little up and about in that regard as well.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of pride to play for Milo. I think, given who's on her team, if they want that win, all of them are going to have to step up. Like, that's a big team to verse. And, like, Miley's a great player. She's one of the best veterans I've seen out. I've got a lot of respect for her. I don't know her personally, but, like, I really enjoy the way that she plays.
And rounding out the fixture this weekend, the Coburn Cougars take on the Eastern Suns at Wally Hagen Stadium.
I would love for Suns to beat them. That's all I'm going to say. Like, I love the Coburn girls, but I'd love it if Suns beat them.
No, that's very good. Me too.
The Cougars have had sort of mixed form in recent weeks, I guess, and probably a bit of a form slide, if anything, overall. So the Suns would certainly be hungry to grab that one, I imagine, while they're down a little.
Yeah, I really encourage them to take the dub.
So, yeah. Are there many players left at the Suns from your time there? Are you familiar with many of the girls out that way? Was, you know, some of the younger girls like Jewel around at that time even?
Yeah, Jewel was around at that time, and I at that time when I was playing at Lynx, I definitely, like, not necessarily took her under my wing, but I definitely gave her a lot of tips and whatever. But she's definitely matured into her own player and come up with her own style, which is really nice to watch. Like, she's a very silky player. Like, it's really good to watch. But not a lot of girls. I think Jenny Rattal, I can't say her last name properly, she was there when I was there, but she's currently in South Australia playing for the West Adelaide Bearcats, which is pretty cool because that was the junior team that I played with.
Oh, right, okay.
And my little sister said she'd crack me if I didn't give her a shout out. She's also at West Adelaide, so
okay.
There you go, Jazzy.
Very good. Excellent. Well, look, we appreciate your insights and taking the time to speak to us ahead of this Indigenous round, and we wish you and the East Perth Eagles all the best as you push into the top four over coming weeks and towards the end of the season. Thank you once again.
Thank you, Brett. Thanks, Ben.
We appreciate you. Talia Fijo there out of the East Perth Eagles on the NBL One West radio show.
The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West radio show. When you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology, providing bulk billed Medicare rebatable services at all 20 locations.
Your health and welfare are important. At SKG Radiology, we know this. Take advantage of bulk billing all Medicare rebatable services across our WA practices. Some exceptions may apply, so please ask our friendly staff for more details. From x-rays to ultrasounds, low-dose CT scans and MRIs, no matter where you're referred to, when you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology. Visit skg.com.au.
All the local basketball action, roundups and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West radio show.
NBL One West Radio Show. Brett Costello, Ben Ettridge with you. Time to take a look at the upcoming Round 13 matches for this weekend. It is Indigenous Round, as we've mentioned. There are going to be, of course, caps around the number of people available at venues. So my suggestion is take a chance to check it out online if you haven't already, nbl1.com.au. Let's have a look at Friday night. There's an 8:30pm tip-off down there at Eaton Rec Centre as the Slammers host the Mandurah Magic.
I think Scott Machado will be too much for the Slammers in this one. The impending arrival of Luke Travers as well, whether this is one of the games he's got penciled in to play for the Magic. But yeah, the Mandurah Magic led by Scott Machado and Jeremy Grace will be too much for the Slammers.
Travers may be trying to avoid that road trip, not that it's all that far from Mandurah down to the Slammers, but I don't know where he's coming from personally, so he might decide to join them next weekend.
Pull the veterans card very early.
Yeah, maybe. The Joondalup Wolves will be hosting the Perth Redbacks on Friday, the 9th of July, 8:30pm tip-off for the men. I believe that's a game that I'm going to be on the call for the live stream, so you can check that one out.
Really interesting one, two teams. The Redbacks on the rise and Wolves sort of treading water a little bit. I know the loss of Lee Roberts to East Perth kind of has set them back a little bit with their championship aspirations. And I really like what the Redbacks are doing at the moment. Marshall Nelson and Lewis Timms are quite a formidable pair. And in saying that, though, Jonathan Wade and Lockie Cummings are quite a potent backcourt. So I'm going to tip the Wolves simply because it's at home, although the Redbacks will be very, very closer to the mark in this one.
Dare I say the next one, a touch of a grudge match after 2 weeks ago with the Senators going down to the Suns on the buzzer. It's the return bout at Ray Owen Sports Centre this time. The Eastern Suns hosting the Warwick Senators.
Very interesting to play it so quickly on the turnaround in the fixture and also having nothing in between to sort of see how each team responded. So for us, you know, we've won three in a row now. The boys are very confident and the Senators are on the flip side. However, I'm not sure how close Justin King is to returning, which makes him a very different beast. And I'm not sure if Corbin Rowe will be suiting up given his broken foot and whether he's had enough time to recover from that. So look, I'm going to tip us. Winning form is good form. Three in a row is good for us. And we'll definitely make some adjustments. We know we got some things wrong in that game against the Senators, so we'll be looking to get those right and maybe extend that lead to a little bit further than just 2 points on the buzzer.
We spoke to Adam Nina about it earlier on in the show. The Willetton Tigers hosting the Rockingham Flames, 8:30pm tip-off there at Willetton Basketball Stadium.
I really like the additions that the Tigers have made this year, and I think that will put them in good stead. Michael Vigor versus Greg Heyer is a great one, and I think the Tigers are just playing a little bit too consistent at the moment, so I'm going to tip the Tigers at the Willetton Basketball Stadium.
The Tigers then travel to Belmont Oasis Leisure Centre on the Saturday night. Both teams on the second game of a doubleheader, the Redbacks hosting the Tigers.
And this is going to be a test of the depth of both teams. And what I will say is, though, the Redbacks' first starting five are very good. And then after that, they do get a bit thin on the bench, whereas the Tigers do legitimately go sort of 9 or 10 deep. So I think based on that, I'm going to pick the Tigers to go 2 for 2 this weekend.
The big question in this next one may be, is Lee Roberts playing? The East Perth Eagles up against the Perry Lakes Hawks at Herb Graham, 7pm on Saturday for this one.
Everything would be pointing towards that he is. I know he quarantined in Sydney and he's been back in Perth for a week now. So throwing Lee Roberts into this group does make a big difference. It moves the needle quite a bit for the Eagles. However, the Perry Lakes Hawks are the form team at the moment. They're just too big and too well drilled. And I think Andrew Ferguson and Lewis Thomas in the middle there is too much to handle for Lee Roberts and Jared Anastasio and Ben Purser and the likes will be just too big and too consistent for the East Perth Eagles.
The Mandurah Magic are hosting the Joondalup Wolves. That's a Saturday fixture as well. Also at 7pm at Mandurah Aquatic and Rec Centre.
And given it's the back end of a doubleheader for the Wolves, I'm going to tip the Magic. I think Scott Machado will tear them apart. I think he'll be too much and it's a big stage for him given the Wolves and what they have meant in this league for a while. I think this will be one that he'll get up for and be at full NBL level, Scott Machado. So the Magic in this one.
Plenty of games in this round. It continues on Saturday night. The Rockingham Flames hosting the travelling Geraldton Buccaneers.
Yeah, I can't see the Bucks getting this one. The Flames, too big and too strong And again, the Bucks having to travel is not great for them. They're relying a little bit too much on Aaron Ralph to do the bulk of the scoring for them. I know Matthew Ang's there as well, but yeah, he tends to be a little bit hit and miss. So I'm going to go the Flames with this one.
The Goldfield Giants host the Lakeside Lightning, travelling up to Niels Hansen Basketball Stadium for a Saturday night 7 p.m. tip-off.
Can't see the Lightning losing many more in the remainder of the season. I think they'll go up there and they'll take out this one quite handily.
The last of the Saturday night fixtures will see the Coburn Cougars hosting the Eastern Suns at Wally Hagen Stadium. Both teams would be keen to get a win out of this one, I would have thought.
And I think we've learnt from the last time we played them how we need to play Nick Posoglu. We got that all wrong last time, so I think we've made some adjustments there defensively. And again, I think we're playing good basketball at the moment, so I'll tip the Eastern Suns in this one.
And the lone Sunday night fixture sees the Geraldton Buccaneers continue their road trip after facing the Flames on the Saturday night. They'll head to Bendat for a midday tip-off against the Perry Lakes Hawks.
I think this one could get ugly very quickly. The Perry Lakes Hawks won't be wanting to hang around and mess around in this one. They'll put the Bucks to the sword very quickly and take care of business, making a very long road trip for the Bucks.
Of course, we've got all the fixtures from last weekend that have to be rescheduled. And talking of the Hawks, I know they were looking forward to the magic coming into Bendat, the Machado draw card factor. It looks like that game is going to be delayed now to be a Tuesday night fixture on the 3rd of August. So I don't know if that loses a bit of its draw card being a midweek fixture, and we're likely to see more midweek fixtures as we go ahead.
Yeah, more double headers and more midweek fixtures moving forward. And again, it's just one of those things that I think we need to really, really take stock of and understand that when we do change things around and start to put those extra stresses on guys playing, and not only the players but also their families midweek, having to go out and play a game, referees, bench staff, it does start to take its toll. So, you know, while I do want to get this season completed and have it as much many games as possible, I do think we need to be very wary of the actual mental health toll that we are going to take on people as we start to try and force games in where they weren't and plans are changed and so on and so forth. So it's just something to be aware of. How do the different teams and different clubs respond as we're trying to get these games wedged in where they weren't.
If we have time, let's take a quick check of the standings at the moment. We've spoken quite a bit about the 10-2 Lightning and Perry Lakes Hawks. The Tigers, of course, at 10-1. And then looking in and wanting to get into that top three.
Yeah, look, the Rockingham Flames, Tom Jervis will make a big change to that. He does provide them with an NBL-level big body. Mandra Magic, again, adding Luke Travers. Whether him and Machado are available for finals, as I've spoken about before, are they just sort of hanging their hat on making a finals and being able to say that they did that the first year round? And someone like East Perth will be looking to jump up the ladder and get a few wins now with Lee Roberts, even though he's not here for finals as well. So that sort of bottom sort of four to eight could change as the season progresses with all these different players coming in.
You'd have to wonder if Mandra can push up to that sort of top four spot. And then who's starting to slide out? Has Joondalup not bolstered themselves enough? Have Warwick got too many injuries at the moment? Do they start to slide? It's going to be quite interesting towards this back end.
All very good questions. And again, the Wolves have never been out of the top two for probably the last 10 years. So this is probably a long time since they've been in that situation. And the Warwick Senators have sort of always sort of floated around that top 5 to 3, last year being the one where they got to the top and taking the title. So do their injuries take their toll and their loss of depth that they've sort of suffered without Wani, without Norman Yang being there this year, does that sort of start to erode on the championship that they won last year? So interesting times ahead. Again, this, you know, if we look at it, we didn't have an all-star break, but pretty much at the halfway point of the season, we had a week off anyway. So if we were to sort of look at it as this is exactly halfway now, how we come out of this little lockdown period will be very interesting.
We'll take a short break and we'll be back with Lost SBL and to wind things up on the NBL One West radio show.
At SKG Radiology, we care about your health and welfare. This is why we bulk bill Medicare rebatable services across all 20 SKG locations. Some exceptions may apply. Ask our friendly staff for details. Visit skg.com.au.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West radio show.
back to round things out here at the NBL One West Radio Show, taking a look now at our very popular series of Lost SBL. This week we're looking back at 1998. It was the year that the Southwest Slammers got up and got the championship over the regular season champions, the Coburn Cougars. That grand final, 105-96. Have you got any memories of the 1998 year, Ben?
Yeah, I do. Alan Erickson and the Cougars there, the SBL's version of Larry Bird in Alan Erickson, still running around, and James Fitch and the Slammers beginning what was their dynasty of championship runs through the late 90s and early 2000s. So, yeah, some very good memories of that.
Coach of the Year also came out of the Coburn Cougars.
Scott Marsden, formerly of the Stirling Senators and then down to the Coburn Cougars, and moved on from playing for the Cougars into that head coaching role and took them to a top of the table finish in 98.
98 was a tough year for the country teams with Geraldton, the Goldfield Giants, the Mandurah Magic and the Great Southern Raiders all finishing outside of the top eight. So aside from that championship from the Slammers, it was a pretty rough year for those country teams.
And that's generally how it tends to go. They're sort of very much determined by the quality of the locals, and it may have just been a year that the local guys weren't available to play or had moved up to the city or for whatever reason weren't available. So, but very strange to see sort of four of them in the bottom five there.
Looking at the women's competition, the Perry Lakes Hawks were the champions that year, getting up over the Willetton Tigers in the grand final, 71-63.
We always talk about the dynasties on the men's side, but those Perry Lakes Hawks women's teams coached by Rick Morecambe were very good and very strong, and I think there's a very long championship run there made by those Perry Lakes Hawks teams.
The most valuable player for the women backing up on her 1993 win was Katrine Linson, coming back for another MVP.
And coach of the year making it a double for the Coburn Cougars was Lloyd Clayman.
Well, we're just about out of time on this week's show, but plenty of action coming up across the weekend. As we always tell you, make sure you do check your local guides because things are a moving feast. Perhaps you want to get around to a particular stadium or association. I actually recommend checking their information about whether they're going to be accepting paid people to come into the games. But worst case scenario, if they can't, of course you can check it out at nbl1.com.au with the online stream or through the NBL app.
And yeah, just looking forward to having some basketball be played. It was nice to be able to sit down and watch the NBL 1 North and NBL 1 South sort of get through their games over the weekend, but nothing beats being on the sidelines and watching the ball go up and down the floor. So hopefully we get our games underway and our season goes through as uninterrupted as we possibly could have it.
Depending on where you're listening to this show, if you'd like to check out the podcast, you can do so, of course, at Apple Podcasts, Podomatic, Spotify, and also TuneIn. Just search for the NBL One West Radio Show. Until next week, thank you once again, as always, Ben.
Thanks, Brett. Good to be back in the studio. And as we say, looking forward to the what name you come up with for next week's round.
Hopefully the resurrection round or something.
There you go.
Perfect. I've got it in mind. We'll see you next week.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West.